This is Cruise Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Everything you need to know about new and used cars. Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air. Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Because you're on Cruise Control. Cruise Control.
And welcome to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Les, looks like you had a delicious turkey dinner.
Well, you probably noticed the gravy all over the seat.
Yeah, well, that...
Well, you know, the problem is I just thought the bread in my turkey sandwich was going to soak up more of it, and... Well, it didn't.
All right. Well, we're also using biofuel. We have the carcass of the turkey there. And
yes. Yes.
Trying to make that work. But we should get to our stories. And we start with a big one. He saved Nissan, but now Carlos Ghosn finds himself inside a Japanese prison cell. What happened? We'll take a look at the empire that Carlos Ghosn had created and what's happening now.
Isn't it interesting? He impressed all of us, but you never know what somebody's personal life is like. Anyway, over at GM, they say they don't look at the label when it comes to the MPG rating on one of their new pickups.
Yeah, they don't like what's on the label, so they say don't look at it.
Doesn't seem like a good marketing ploy, but
check this out, Les. Volvo has a plan for the LA Auto Show. No new cars.
Well, okay, that's an interesting approach.
Yes.
Come see us. We're the same.
That's right.
Okay, and Range Rover and Subaru go plug-in hybrid.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, this is a trend we're going to see, and, you know, I think this is just the beginning of this. We'll talk about both those models, which will be available real soon. We're also going to talk tech. Has one company cracked the solid-state battery puzzle? That's a... But batuzzle is a battery puzzle.
That's it. Well, I tell you, it's a matter of time before the breakthroughs happen. Think of the money. Think of the money for the company that develops the... You know, not the ultimate battery, but the battery that is a quantum leap over the existing stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge. And how to lose your driver's license in less than an hour. Yes.
Yeah.
One new driver had his license for 49 minutes. And now he doesn't have it anymore.
Well,
it was a good 49 minutes, though.
I'm sure it was an exciting 49 minutes.
Especially the last of those 49 minutes, yes. All that.
Yes.
And a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio. That's the show you're listening to. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. Check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It's all there. cruisecontrolradio.com. We will be right back, and we will talk about what's going on with Carlos Ghosn in a Japanese prison. Yes, he ran Renault, Nissan, and Mitsubishi. And now... Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Control. And welcome back to Cruise Control. Fred Staub over at the steering wheel. Les Jackson here, sopping up what's left of the
turkey gravy.
The turkey gravy.
In the upholstery.
Well, it's not like it's really upholstery.
Well, all right.
It's just old plastic trash bags that we've covered the seats with. Well, anyway.
Let's move on.
We were talking about someone who has not done well in the past week, Carlos Ghosn. Now, let's first of all make sure everyone knows who Carlos Ghosn is. He's kind of a miracle worker in the automotive industry. He took over Nissan. Boy, this is, 12, 13 years ago?
Yeah, he basically turned them around. They were in big trouble, brought out a lot of new product, changed the way of doing business. They even made a documentary about it called Shift, how they basically changed the way Nissan does business, new product. But he didn't stop there. So he was the chairman they're going to try to oust him, Nissan is, but he is the chairman right now, I guess, still, of Nissan. Renault owns 43% of Nissan, and Ghosn serves as CEO, and Nissan owns 15% of Renault. He's still going to stay on as the CEO of Renault so far. He also has an alliance with Mitsubishi. He's the chairman of the board there. Nissan holds 34% of Mitsubishi's stock, and they're trying to get him out of Mitsubishi.
Well, so, I think in all cases they'll get rid of him because he's in trouble.
Yeah, he's in big trouble.
And, once again, you have one of these people probably making, $40, $50 million in compensation?
Well, he basically runs three automotive companies.
Big bucks. But they found that, this is the Japanese authorities, they found that Ghosn had been using corporate money for personal purposes. I never understand that. And underreporting his income. Mm-hmm. For years, in official company filings with the Tokyo Stock Exchange, and the Japanese legal people don't appreciate that.
No, and it all came to light when a whistleblower began, basically blew their whistle, and the company began an internal investigation and informed prosecutors. And the Japanese media says the informant is a member of Nissan's legal department. Wow.
Well, and he was underreporting half of his income.
I mean, talk about being a little bit having your hands in the cookie jar, way in. That's up to your elbow, right?
I mean, what causes people to do this? He couldn't possibly be spending all the money he was making.
He's running three companies, basically,
Yeah. And what happens, I guess, is you just become, you reach a point where you believe that you're above the law. You're so important that you're above everything. And he's now, no one quite knows where he is.
Well, they do, actually. He is in a Japanese prison. He is in a prison because in Japan, they have up to 20 days that they can lock you up before being charged or released. And they say the feeling is he'll be indicted on Friday, December 7th. And that is the last working day before a maximum period, I guess, of how long they can keep you in jail. If bail is granted, it would be in the millions of dollars range.
If they grant him bail, because I think he would be considered a flight risk.
And if he's convicted, he would carry the maximum penalty of up to 10 years in prison and a fine up to 10 million yen. And apparently, in Japan, they don't take white-collar crime lightly. You don't do country club jail time. You do it in a real prison. With the one he's in, they say everyone has to wear a mask all the time for germ control, and it's known as being very cold. I mean, physically
man.
Cold.
that scares me.
Yeah. So, he certainly, I don't know how it works over there, but certainly in the U.S., you would have to get yourself a very good lawyer and would spend appropriately large amounts of money to do that. And they probably would get you out with a tap on the hand. But we'll see what happens to Carlos Ghosn. Once a big star in the automotive world and now in big trouble. Unreported income and lots of houses he bought. So,
do you think Nissan will use its lawyers to help him?
We'll talk about that when we come back on Cruise Control.
For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are glad you are along for this odyssey around the automotive industry. A lot going on. We started off with an arrest, and now it's time to sing the song, Les.
Yep.
Don't look at the mile per gallon label when you are driving your GM pickup. That's what the next story is about.
That's right.
Well,
whatever you do, don't look behind the curtain.
That's right. And it has to do with the new four-cylinder, full-size Silverado pickup. And GM rated this 2.7-liter engine at 20 miles per gallon, 23 highway, 21 combined. People were scratching their heads, saying, well, that's about the same as the V6, the 4-point-whatever liter. I'm sorry. What was it? Was it a
4.3.
4.3-liter V6 that it replaced. So why would you go through all of that just to get a 13% boost in the city rating? And the combined is just 1 mile per gallon higher than the 4.3-liter V6. And they're saying just don't look at that. Those numbers, they're trying to spin this, right?
Well, and the spin, honestly, doesn't sell me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say fuel economy will be better in the real world. It never is. You know, what car, well, I shouldn't say never, but it rarely is better in the real world. We test these cars every week,
mm-hmm.
and it's never perfect. It's never almost never as good as they say, but every once in a while, it's a little bit better than they say on the label.
Yeah, that was the case with the VW diesels that had other problems, but they did get better mileage than what they were rated at. And I remember this a similar scenario when the VW diesels and the Jetta, let's say, and the Golf, they came out, and I thought, that mileage should be better, and they said that basically that it would be, and it was in real life. But GM is trying to spin this way again. Now, that is a healthy four-cylinder. It is rated at 310 horsepower, 348 pound-feet of torque, and where the 4.3-liter V6 had 285 horsepower and 305 pound-feet of torque. So they're saying that it will do a better 0-60. It's lighter. They're, you know, spinning all the other attributes of the engine. It just doesn't give them the fuel economy that they were looking for. And they say they're not done with that. They're going to do more tweaking. Well,
I'm sure they will. But listen, I mean, these are impressive numbers. You got to admit,
mm-hmm.
for a four cylinder.
Yeah.
310 horsepower
on pump gas. By the way,
302 Mustang back in the day was barely did that. But when they did this, presumably, and maybe they didn't really do it for this, but they presumably for more efficiency, better mileage. It's not delivering. It probably will in the future.
Well,
but
I have another theory, too, that this engine may be cheaper to produce than the 4.3-liter V6. The 4.3-liter V6 may be just disappearing from the lineup completely, and this will be used in other platforms. So it can be, you know, something related to that as well, that it's not just fuel economy, that this 2.7 engine is going to be used across the board, and the 4.3 is going away, so they had to make a change. So when you think about that, yes, you get a newer technology energy and engine. You do get a bump in horsepower. You do get a bump in torque. You get a better 0-60 and no turbo lag. You can still use regular gas, but you know this engine will fit into more applications. So from a manufacturing standpoint, that's great, but you know, if you're just the end user, you might say, "Well, why is the mileage not better?" So,
yeah, and they never make an engine. GM never ever makes an engine for a single purpose.
No, because it would be ridiculous, and there's no reason to when you can certainly use these engines in multiple platforms. So that's what I think the case is, where this 2.7, while it is the base engine, if you will, for pickup trucks, it might be a premium engine in a smaller platform, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It'll work out, but I think the smartest thing for them to say is don't say anything.
Yeah, don't look at the label is probably not the best thing because, you know, that's the standard you go on. And there has to be standards so people can do comparisons shopping. I mean, this is just what happened with the crash testing, and they made standards, and people tried to find them, you know, so follow them, and that's what you have to do. So there you have it. Hey, you're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We're glad you're along for the ride. Updating your car without trading it in is going to become a kind of a common thing. It's not very common now, but Mazda has a great update for your car, which of course causes some limitations. We'll talk about that. But this has to do with cars from 2014 on. You can update your old Mazda with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. It's a $200 update. You do have to go to the dealership. You will get the same smartphone interfaces available in the 2018 Mazda 6 sedan and the 2019 CX-5 and CX-9 crossovers. It's a software upgrade and new hardware that features a more powerful and faster charging 2.1-amp USB port. But the downside is the old Mazda infotainment screens won't become touchscreens after the update. That means for Apple CarPlay and Android Auto will be controlled through the control knob on the column on the console as they do it. The upgrade will take about 2 hours and will be done at any official Mazda dealership. Not a bad upgrade for $200, Les.
It's not. I wish it fit 2009 Mazda 6s.
Mm-hmm.
Since I own one, and it's as your Pontiac Vibe is, it has no technology at all.
No, it's technology it's from another time, yes.
Yeah, and I would love to be able to just plug in a new screen that gives me a backup camera and Bluetooth and even a a nav system or whatever. It would just be really nice.
I tell you, I miss that most in an older car, not having Bluetooth, you know, because that is handy.
It is, and I've tried a couple aftermarket devices. They really don't work.
Mm. So if you have one of those Mazdas, you can soon get that updated at your dealer, and that's not a bad deal, especially even that USB charging port at 2.1 amps. That's a good update.
I would love that.
Yeah, yeah. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. When we come back, we're going to talk about Volvo having a plan for the LA Auto Show that doesn't involve cars. We'll also tell you about a Ford dealer selling nitrous oxide-equipped 800-horsepower Mustang GTs New from the dealership floor with a warranty. That sounds like a dangerous business, doesn't it?
It does.
We're going to talk tech about a company with solid-state batteries. Also, we're going to talk about two new models from Range Rover and Subaru plug-in hybrids. They are coming in to their own right. I think these are going to be the... I think basically just a regular hybrid will fade away and plug-in hybrids will be the type of vehicle du jour for the next couple of years. And how to lose your driver's license in 49 minutes or less. All coming up on Cruise Control Radio. Check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It's all there. cruisecontrolradio.com. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. We'll be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile.
Cruise Control.
Or no automobiles if you're Volvo, right?
That's right. In the case of the cruise control van, it's you can't really call it an automobile.
No, it's a collection of parts, ill-fitting parts.
It's a functioning device.
All right. Well, let's talk about the LA Auto Show that's coming up real soon now.
Yes.
And they are being Volvo. Are not going to show any new cars.
This is a very interesting marketing technique.
they say we are, according to the Volvo Senior Vice President of Corporate Strategy, Martin Levenstam, told Automotive News, now is the time to really do different things in a different way, and this is just one example. This is they're going to use interactive demonstrations instead to show connectivity services such as in-car delivery, its vision of autonomous driving, and its Care by Volvo vehicle subscription scheme. Now, do we think this is just because they don't have new cars to show, just because the way it worked out, or this is just a real plan and is innovative? What do you think?
You know, if it was any other company, I would say it's because they don't have anything. But I think this is just Volvo's way of saying we need to talk about technology here, not just about hardware.
Mm. They're going to display this statement. This is not a car.
Okay, I think that'll be fairly obvious. This is not, by the way, a repeat of back in 83 when there was no Corvette. And at the auto shows, they just showed basically a dashboard. You could walk up and look at a dashboard of the future Corvette, which was not a great selling point.
No, that was the spaceship dashboard, yeah.
Yeah,
which they thought would catch on all across the industry and never really did.
It did not. But I think Volvo has an idea here. Now, unfortunately, we don't know if it's going to work because people come to car shows to see cars, to see pretty colors and to see style and to see all this stuff and get in them.
Yeah.
And so this could backfire. I think it will sell the journalists who go there because we do respond to all these technology things, and it's a good chance to get the get the information.
Mm. I think though, I definitely think the days of big releases at car shows are coming to an end. I think that's just all spread out now. And you know, it's I think you still have to have car shows for the consumers because they want to buy cars. They want to look at them all in a big room and write down, say, hey, here's my top three, and then go to the dealers. And they don't want the pressure. You know, they want to sit in a car, look at it. walk around it, you know, open the hatch without being, you know, heavily marketed. Hey, aren't you going to buy it today or whatever, you know? And I think that's what the main feature of the auto show is, to sell cars.
Yeah, I agree. But I can see the day, and I'm sure you'll agree, that the media won't actually have media days at the car shows.
I agree. Yeah, I think they'll be done in VR holographic fashion in the future, but that's just me. Hey, let's talk about some new models from Land Rover and Subaru. We'll start with Subaru up first. Their Crosstrek, very popular model. See a ton of them on the road. They're going to reveal a Crosstrek hybrid, a plug-in hybrid, at the LA Auto Show. They will have cars in their booth. This is said to get 17 miles of electric range at up to 65 miles an hour in full electric mode. And it's good for 90 mile per gallon MPGE, while still delivering a quicker 0 to 65 acceleration than the gasoline-powered Crosstrek. Once again, a plug-in hybrid. Keep that battery charged. You got 17 miles of distance to go on electric. Then it converts to a regular hybrid. You look for this unit to have a unique color and some unique treatment around the headlights. Different set of wheels, all to kind of denote that it is the plug-in hybrid. Its unique body color is going to be called Lagoon Pearl, Blue Pearl. And it will have a new high-contrast gray and navy blue seats to go along with this color. Look for the price to be somewhere around $35,970, including shipping. And that's $8,000 more than the base Prius Prime.
Yeah, that's a bit of a...
It is all-wheel drive, though, remember.
Well, it is, and Subarus really do appeal to a completely different audience.
Yeah. They did have a hybrid a few years ago. It wasn't a big seller, but it was just a regular hybrid, you know. And they're still out there in the used market, by the way. You've kind of run across them more than you think you would. But anyway, that will be coming up at the LA Auto Show. And then Land Rover's got some a new plug-in hybrid, right, Les?
Well, they do, and Range Rover.
Range Rover, and it is
the Evoque. Gets a hybrid. Now the Evoque is very popular.
Oh yes.
You know, it's a good vehicle. It's not a bargain, but it certainly is a good value.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got a hybrid. It's again changes, smoother exterior, integrated door handles, which I'm beginning to be a real fan of those.
That's like the Ken Diggett integrated handles.
I just think it's a cleaner approach. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be it's a 300-volt hybrid, which is very common, 300, 380, 400-volt.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be available with a 48-volt mild hybrid that adds a belt-driven starter generator.
A three-cylinder gas engine.
Yeah, cool. of course, the engine shuts off below 11 miles per hour.
Hmm.
That's kind of neat. I don't think anyone else is doing that.
Mm, yeah. It also has some new technology in it. It's built, this new vehicle is built on the premium transverse architecture structure platform. And it is similar in length to the outgoing model, but has a longer wheelbase to give more cabin room, which will be appreciated. New technology includes a camera system that gives the driver a frontal view on the dashboard that creates the effect of looking through the car's hood called ground view, and it's useful when parking or going off-road. Sounds pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. and a windshield-mounted screen will replace the rearview mirror to give you a wider view behind the car, similar to a system used by Cadillac. I think we're going to see more and more of that.
We will.
Yeah. So, the cabin, of course, can be trimmed in high fabrics or leathers to give a premium feel. And they also include for those fabrics a Kevadrat wood blend and a Dynamica suede substitute.
That's an interesting word.
Yeah. I don't know what it means. It's a brand.
That's a little bit too much of a marketing thing there. Dynamica. Why not just call it a faux suede?
Yeah, but that doesn't sound like Dynamica.
But Dynamica doesn't sound like a material.
No.
It sounds like to me? It sounds like a kitchen countertop.
It does sound like that. It does sound like a kitchen countertop, yeah. So the plug-in flood is going to happen. It's the best technology out there right now if you don't want to go for an electric car. With higher electric range, this is I've told people plug-in hybrids are a good compromise right now.
Yeah,
aren't they?
They're really the way. They're the earliest wave of the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to keep you into the future. Coming up next on Cruise Control Radio, we're going to talk tech about solid-state batteries. Also, going to talk about that factory nitrous oxide Mustang you can buy from a dealer. So. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back to Cruise Control. Les and Fred here. If you don't have enough horsepower in your Mustang.
Comes with 460, Les. That's pretty good with a 5-liter.
460 is what I would call respectable.
Mm-hmm.
If this were 1965, 460 would be called holy mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Well, let's head over to Cincinnati.
If you want almost twice that,
mm-hmm.
you can buy it right out of the showroom.
Yep, Cincinnati Beachmont Ford. These are the guys that sold the 700 horsepower supercharged Mustang GT for around $40,000. Once again, using the Ford performance parts. So, that's completely, Ford encourages that, right?
Absolutely.
This time around, they're doing an 800 horsepower Mustang GT. It's called the BFP Drag Pack, and it's a 10-second car capable of running the drag strip in 10 seconds. And it is nitrous oxide assisted. That is a big shot of nitrous to put in that engine, isn't it?
It is. I just wonder how you can warrant that.
Well, they do. It has some sort of warranty. They put Sticky Mickey tires on the back, Sticky Mickey Thompson tires on the back, and it's really cool. There are a lot of Ford performance parts that go into that, like the half shafts are designed for drag racing, and the front end gets some changes, but all of these are Ford performance parts, so that's fine. Those can be warranted. By Ford, because if the dealer puts them on, they get warranted, right?
That's right. Now they claim it's a partial warranty.
Yeah. Well, when you're putting that much juice into the engine, as they say, things can happen. I think that is a big shot of nitrous to go from 460 to 800, isn't it?
Yeah. That's like putting a 5-liter supercharger.
Right. Exactly. So, But they will do this. The car looks great. It's got black drag style wheels on it. It's got the, as I said, the sticky Mickey Thompson tires on there. Yeah, it's a tough looking car.
Where do you drive this car?
On a drag strip. How's that?
That's it. I mean, I don't think you can really take it anywhere else.
Well, it'd probably be, you'd probably have to swap out the tires and that, and you would have to certainly shut your nitrous bottle off, right?
Well, yeah, first thing you need to do is cut off the nitrous.
Yeah, so there's that. There's that. But, hey, let's talk a little tech. There is a race on, Les, to build the first solid-state battery. Why don't you explain what a solid-state battery is and how it differs from what's used in electric cars now, right?
Right, because electric cars now, you know, they may have lithium ion, but those are membranes of the actual materials that, much like a conventional battery or, you know, ever ready flashlight battery, is foil and carbon wrapped around each other. That's not solid state. That's actually materials which make a chemical reaction.
And there's solid like a paste in there, right?
That's right. It's like a paste, and it, of course, wears out, mm-hmm. as anything will.
Leaks.
But solid state is phenomenal. I mean, remember, a battery is nothing more than an energy storage device.
Okay.
So like a capacitor, that's an energy storage device. So if you can do that with solid state using my favorite, the laws of physics, you just think what the limits can be, because now you're dealing at the atomic level.
Yes. Now, of course, Dyson, BMW, and Fisker are all working on these. This technology,
right.
But one company, Qingtao Energy Development, which is a startup in a university in East China, claims they have 100 milliwatt per hour, not megawatt, my gosh, it would be a power plant, and they can plan to increase that up to 700 by 2020. And the company has achieved an energy density of more than 400. What is that WH to kilograms, Les?
That's watt hours per kilogram.
Okay. Compared to the new generation of lithium ion batteries that have a capacity in the 250 to 300 range.
Yeah. So it's almost double.
So what would this mean? This would mean ranges in the 500 mile range for electric car?
Yeah, absolutely.
Faster charging?
Certainly faster charging. But what's important there is when you get to the 500-mile range, that's basically the limit that the average person would drive on a trip.
Right. But they could, just like an airliner, they could theoretically fly there and fly back, and they could drive there and drive back without charging.
That's exactly right. And the beauty there is now you don't have range anxiety. You want to drive to Boston from Washington. You get in your electric car and you go, and then it's charges overnight at the hotel.
Hmm. That's pretty amazing. And we are going to see this. This will happen.
Yeah.
And it just changes everything. You'll see more battery powered things. I mean, your cell phone won't have to be charged for a week, let's say, right? A lot of things.
That's right.
Or recharge in 5 minutes.
And the other market there is home standby power supplies.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have that kind of energy. You don't need a generator. You just have one of these that constantly is kept charged in your garage and an electric panel reversing switch. And you have a power outage for a day or two. You just turn this on and it runs your house.
And then it just recharges when the power comes back on.
That's right. Hmm. It's wonderful.
Well, this is called Gone in 49 Minutes. By the way, that article was from Engadget about the battery. So we want to give them credit for that. And this one's from the BBC. Apparently a German teenager got his license On the way back from the driving test, the teen was caught by speed gun near the town of Hemmer, doing 60 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, and his license was confiscated immediately. The 18-year-old had four friends with him when he was caught, but now their friend can't be... Now they can't be designated as designated drivers anymore because they were witnessing the speeding, I guess. And it's gone. He got a $230 fine, and he will have to wait 4 weeks to get it back after undergoing extensive retraining. God, that sounds sounds a bit worrisome, doesn't it?
It sounds expensive too.
expensive retraining. So wow, they take things pretty strictly there, don't they, in Germany?
Well, they do, as they do in many European countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, here it's much more of a revenue-producing thing. But you know, speeding is one thing, but going twice the speed limit is reckless.
Yeah, you can't say, I didn't know I was 5 miles over. This is, yeah, pretty egregious. I think the most egregious thing I always saw was a lady who would drive on the sidewalk every morning because she didn't want to wait for the bus that had the red lights going. And they actually put a camera in the bus to get the evidence, and a cop pulled right out and blocked her right across the sidewalk.
Wow.
I think she still said, "I didn't do it," but even though there was video and the cop saw her do it. So, hey. Hey, we appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. Time for me to say, I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road.
Bye.
Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to cruisecontrolradio.com.